Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Joe's fired up today.
Couldn't find my microphone. You hid it from me. Usually you just don't turn it on, but seldom do you hide it from me.
Yeah, we put it around.
Passive-aggressive Lawrence.
Around the, oh, yeah, that's me. I hit it, moved it up the hall a spell. So, welcome aboard, sir. How you doing?
I am hanging in there. I'm tired of the rain, but other than that, fine.
Really?
Yes.
I think the rain is wonderful.
Well, it is nice. I mean, I like rain, but just not every day.
Well, the sun's going to come out tomorrow. We got another blast of strong storms this afternoon.
You're going to burst into song. The sun will come out tomorrow.
I will not torture you with that, my rendition of any song ever on this program.
Okay, glad to hear it.
So, but yeah. So you, as soon as you're off, then the sun's going to come out and stay out until you come back.
Well, that's okay because I can get my lawn work done and all the other outdoor things I have to do.
Yeah, I'll have to be harvesting my lawn soon too. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We're going to hear from Joe Kantz in a few moments. He'll be talking about the state budget, probably its impact on Snyder County. So we'll talk about that shortly. 1-800-795-9565 is the number he'll call. 1-800-795-9565 is the number you can call. Yesterday, we had a conversation about Facebook, and some people have put remarks on Facebook that are so disparaging that they are, in fact, criminal, and that not only have harassment citations been issued, but upheld by lower courts, but the state Supreme Court has upheld a harassment citation for somebody that had extremely derogatory remarks about somebody on Facebook. I argued that that's improper. Facebook should just be a private forum for people to say whatever they want. Free speech should be protected there. And Joe argued that at where he is in the majority in terms of police and courts, that there is a limit to what you can say, just like you have free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't just say anything you want or threatening remarks or disparaging remarks on Facebook. To that end.
We read that yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
I wondered what you were building up to. But since you went to all that trouble, we'll read it. It's a good email from Dick. He says, true threats are not a protected form of free speech. This has gone all the way from the lower courts to the Supreme Court, and this means words have meaning. Ilonis versus USA.
I do remember that now that you mentioned that. Okay.
I know. So once in a while, you do recall something.
The Ilonis part. We started to talk about earned income tax credits this week because the governor vetoed a measure that would have allowed, I think it's $100 million more in earned income tax credits to go to nonprofit organizations, things like religious schools or private schools. And, of course, places like the Albright Center could potentially benefit from this, I'm told. But to that end, one of our listeners
says EITC tax credit funds do not go just to private schools. The public TV station WVIA receives them. In Snyder County, the public library has received funds, as do many other public libraries. So has Middle Creek Area Community Center and Summer Seals Day Camp, run by the public school, receive funding. Arts organizations and councils receive the funds. Museums and foundations get them, too. Additionally, the Donald L. Heater Community Center, Sun Area Career and Technology Center, and the Green Dragon Foundation.
All right. And the Albright Center has in the past enjoyed earned income tax credits. So we think that's noteworthy. Joe said something this week. He said, what did you say?
I said that we're the Democrats with respect to all these bills that they're supposedly passing to deal with our elections. And our friend Tom says this is the first 100 days. Many more have passed since then, including bills to protect our elections, all sitting in Mitch McConnell's closet. Joe, once again, is Democratic amnesia. Try Google, Joe. It's a wonderful tool. And he lists a series of bills that allegedly have passed the House but have not gone anywhere in the Senate. But I was specifically referencing bills to deal with border control, and I noticed there are none here in his list of anything that the Democrats have passed with respect to border control.
What about elections
and
security?
I don't see any here for elections either. So,
okay. A wide range of things that you think could potentially be important, like the TANF Extension Act.
What is that, by the way? You say it sounds like it's important. Tell me what it is. I have no clue.
TANF. I forget what TANF is. I know it's important.
Okay.
So, well, we'll look it up. But anyway, a wide range of bills on a completely wide range of topics. So, all right, so that is
but
that.
Not on border security.
Right. Let's see. One of our listeners says it's time to get rid of some frivolous laws. Yesterday, the State House voted unanimously to repeal the Sunday Tennis Act of 1935. The Sunday Tennis Act allows for the playing of tennis before 1 o'clock on Sundays.
No, after 1 o'clock, the way this reads.
Oh, okay.
Allows for the playing of tennis before 1 o'clock on
Sundays. I see. Okay, so, but fortunately,
I think maybe it should be after, because I suspect the idea was to get people off the tennis courts and into church.
Right, in case they wanted to do that. And then she goes on to say, our Commonwealth has thousands of regulations on the books. Many of these acts were enacted several decades ago and are simply archaic and no longer applicable to the 21st century. In addition, the existence of these outdated laws contributes to the already complex and confusing nature of government.
I used to do a speech on ridiculous laws that were on the books in states around Pennsylvania. One was, you used to have to, if you were driving a car in a city, you had to have someone preceding you waving a white flag.
Oh, dear. Like, so back in the days of cars, when
early
horses
days.
Were
right.
on the
more
road.
More prevalent. They have passed a lot of legislation to ease it for the horses. One of them required you to walk ahead of a car waving a white flag.
I wonder how long that lasted.
I don't know. Not probably very long.
Let's see. This was received on Tuesday. I'm sad to say we didn't get to it immediately, but it's noteworthy. It's talking about the Northumberland traffic.
This last evening, about 5:30, we were leaving Norrie, headed to Danville, but the traffic coming into Norrie was backed up to the car dealership Subaru Station. Why? It was raining. The PennDOT crew weren't working all day. We know why the traffic is so bad. Orange Street red light, it's just common sense. We really don't need to have it or get it timed better. They need a traffic person at that red light. Please, Norrie Council, do something. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, well, that's been a perennial dilemma since they put it in there. It's not timed with the King Street lights. So first of all, people get trapped between there. But the other factor is it doesn't allow a sufficient number of cars to get through before it switches for the Orange Street traffic. So it's a dilemma. I understand what the listener's saying. I happen to live on Orange Street, so we've seen this light many times. And I'll be glad when it's gone. But if you allow a sufficient number of people to go through on Front Street, then they back up on Orange all the way up to and including on Water Street. So that's
which is a highly residential area.
Well, yeah, it's residential, but plus that's Route 11 northbound. So they would, you know, if that light didn't cycle more often, they would have been stopped for a time on Water Street, Route 11 northbound. But what she says is quite true. You do need a traffic person there, but you will find that PennDOT does not care about the smooth flow of traffic sufficiently to put a traffic director there. Police say that's not really their thing to make sure the traffic's flowing smoothly. Fire police are only summoned in case of emergency. So what you have is really it's nobody's interest to make traffic flow smoothly enough to staff it. I think all of those people I named would like traffic to go better, but nobody's going to stand at the intersection and direct traffic.
Well, I mean, Northumberland doesn't have a 50-man police department. They've got, what, five full-time?
Six now.
Six full-time,
yep.
Okay. So Having an officer stand there all day long directing traffic would probably mean that other calls didn't get answered in the borough or other work didn't get done.
And what a negative impact of all of this congestion, too, is the alleys end up as the throughways and people speed through the alleys, not stopping at the stop signs to get through town.
I vouch for that, for sure, yeah.
Where would you put a flagman, though, at that intersection?
Well, you could... let's suppose you had two flag individuals that could coordinate at King and Orange. See, what happens is you have a people waiting on Front Street. It's about a mile out to the old Subaru place. And so you have them waiting, and they're waiting patiently, and their average speed would be about 1 mile per hour. But then on all the other streets where people are waiting to get through that intersection, there's just short waits there, and then the light changes and then lets them out. So the dilemma is that you have Route 11 southbound waiting. It's probably like a 10-minute wait or something, and everybody else just waiting 2 minutes.
Route 11 southbound is a 10-minute wait?
If traffic's backed up to the Subaru dealer.
All right. Well,
It is on Saturday mornings and rush hour morning,
but
although not today.
At that intersection by the library, you have traffic coming from a couple different directions. You have people coming from Norrie who want to turn left into Sunbury. You have people who want to go straight ahead. Mm-hmm. You have people who want to turn to the right to go up the street. And then you have people waiting to come down. Is that Orange Street there?
Yeah, and King Street.
King Street, okay.
And a flagger could do wonderful there.
Really?
Particularly if...
I think they'd get hit.
No, there is actually a little triangle in the middle. The only reason I know that that's there is because when it snows, nobody drives over it.
Okay.
So...
So they would stand in this little triangle with a flag.
Right.
And everybody could see them.
Well, that depends on if you're distracted or not.
Because you also have traffic coming the other way up King Street.
No, that is one way there. So King Street traffic only goes
one. No, on the other side. On the other side, it's two ways. By the church, there in the corner.
Right. Well, that's one of the factors. People coming south on King Street.
Some people coming opposing on Front Street. So you have a lot of traffic coming a lot of different directions of that intersection.
Right. Okay. So you are visualizing that intersection. Those people, because of this light, wait a minute to get through the light. But people on Route 11 southbound, I'm guesstimating it's 10 minutes if you're out at the Subaru dealer. It's probably longer. But in any event, so you see the disparity in the wait times, but one of the beauties of Route 11 southbound is it can handle a stack up. You know, you can just keep... They had it backed up out to Ridge Road one day, so that's, 4 miles.
It wouldn't be much fun sitting in that, however.
No, people turn around or get out of the line or take the back way in. All right, so that's the Northumberland letter. Thank you. Having people direct traffic would be very unlikely because no one has an interest in smooth traffic flow in Northumberland other than our good emailer here. 1-800-795-9565 is the number that Joe Kantz dialed. He wants to talk about the state budget. There's a number of things in the budget that could have impact on our local area. Joe's chair of the Snyder County Commissioners. I never endorse people or talk much about elections, but let's just say a resourceful person could find his name on a ballot this fall. And we'll go from there. Joe, thank you for calling in.
Sure. Thank you, guys. Good morning. And yes, I saw your updates this morning and last evening on Facebook, and I appreciate those, by the way. I get probably more news from the updates that you folks put on Facebook than anywhere else, so it's always great to see those.
Thank you. Click through to WKOK once in a while to keep our website busy.
Well, you know, so the budget's a hot topic right now these days in Harrisburg, and there's a lot of talk back and forth, and you know, one of the ideas that I wanted to share with folks, and hopefully it resonates with people that are paying taxes, I know it should, and that is the fact that the governor has basically given all the counties in Pennsylvania a mandate that currently is unfunded, and will hopefully it will be funded in the budget process, and that's our hope as county commissioners. But even in the four-county area, if you look at Snyder, Northumberland, Union, and Montour counties alone, you're probably talking about $1.5 million or more of tax dollars that are going to be needed to pay for the mandated new elections equipment that the governor has done through a settlement with the Jill Stein campaign, of course, someone who had no chance of being elected as president. So the governor has saw fit to use this mechanism of settlement in a lawsuit in court to force this mandated equipment upon counties. And so I think, you know, we have about $880 million surplus right now, thankfully, in Pennsylvania. And it's going to cost statewide about $150 million to fund all of the elections equipment the governor is mandating counties to purchase. So I don't think that it's too much to ask the governor to, you know, do something to negotiate with the legislature to come up with about $150 million of that $880 million. Which still leaves him plenty of money to do his pet projects.
Well, and is that included in the budget? We did talk to the Commonwealth Foundation this week. They did not mention that as something was included. Is there any of that money in this budget discussion?
So that's a great question, Mark. So the governor did not mention the elections equipment in his budget remarks, which was somewhat frustrating because he was making it such an important topic for counties, but failed to mention it. Now, I will tell you that he did include it in his proposed budget, but unfortunately, he was proposing to pay for half, approximately $75 million of the cost of that $150 million, but he was going to do it over the next 5 years. Well, you and I both know that the governor is not going to be in office over the next 5 years, so asking for $15 million per year for the next 5 years really doesn't sit well with county commissioners, as you might imagine. It's another promise that may go away every budget cycle, and that's something that just really doesn't cut it for us, as we've got to foot the bill up front. You know, like in Snyder County, for example, we budgeted half of the cost, which is going to be a little under $300,000. We budgeted $125,000 for this year's budget to help pay for half of the elections equipment, as the governor asked us to do. But then he fell short in requesting half of the funds in this year's state budget. So that doesn't work. The math doesn't add up. And that's why I'm asking, as I've continued to ask, as the co-chair of our County Commissioners Association Elections Reform Committee statewide, this has been our number one topic for the year, and our number one priority is funding for elections equipment. And that's why I continue to ask the state legislature and the governor to give us 100% of the funding so that our county tax dollars, county taxpayers, do not have to foot the bill for this equipment.
But what about other things the governor's talking about? For example, the cost of the state police being apportioned out to communities that don't have their own police department. That would certainly impact a number of political subdivisions in Snyder County.
Well, that's why he's the governor, Joe. He gets... He gets the big responsibilities of trying to figure all that out, and all I'm asking for is what I've been mandated to do. I've not heard of any problems with our current setup with state police and local police. I don't hear it on the news every day, and it seems to be working quite well. And if I talk to anybody on the street and ask them if they'd like another, $25 per head off of their local taxes, I've not spoken to anyone yet who is in favor of seeing that.
No, that's only in the most populated townships, over like 30,000. But locally, most of them would be in the $2 per head range.
Well, as I said before, I've not heard of any issues with state police. We're fortunate in Snyder County that 20% of our population has a concealed carry permit. And if anybody breaks into our homes, God be with them.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. We encourage folks to contact their state legislator. And in this particular case, you're without one in the 85th district, the heart of the area that Joe's is governance is covering. So you do need to let Linda Schlegel-Culver or Kurt Mosser know. They'll convey your message, or Mr. Harris over in the neighboring area.
Nope, Mr. Harris resigned, Mark, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I got to pay attention to this. Who's his replacement?
District changed a little bit, I don't even know who's representing what area over there.
That's
but
fine.
Believe me, I've reached out to all of our local legislators. They're wonderful to work with. I mean, Kurt Mosser, Linda Schlegel-Culver, John Gordner, Gene Yall. We've got a lot of local members that are pretty high up in leadership. You've got Garth Everett, who's heading the governance committee in the state house. He's been wonderful so far in that role. Just started that this past session. And of course, John Gordner, our senator, who's been a longtime senator, who's done an excellent job for us and John is very tied into the leadership in the Senate. Believe me, I've been working and have shared some thoughts and ideas on how they can work out a compromise with the governor, including passing Senator Gordner's bill, Senate Bill 48, to make sure that this type of thing never happens again, where no governor can ever force or mandate counties to replace all of the elections equipment across the board in one fell swoop.
Because
it could be perceived as a very political thing.
All right. Well, noted. Thank you, Joe. Keep in touch. Keep us up to date. This will evolve next week and the week after, so keep us informed. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Joe.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Joe Kahn, Snyder County Commissioner. Snyder County, like all of the counties locally, will have to replace their election machines in order to stay in compliance with new rules.
Well, as a voter in Snyder County, I can tell you there's absolutely nothing wrong with the system they have.
There isn't anything wrong, but it doesn't leave a paper trail, so that's the key.
But the ballots are still there. The paper ballots are fed into the machine that reads them, and the paper ballots
are
still
available.
So
they still exist. Okay.
Sure.
Well, for whatever reason, maybe the tabulation doesn't have a...
It seems stupid to me to make Snyder County change. I think they have an excellent system.
In Northumberland County, it would be eligible without even the punch cards left over. I guess they want you to switch your machines also. Joe's talking, lamenting that. So.
Well, as one of our callers says, it's a solution in search of a problem.
Oh, how about that? We do have some news from the newsroom. Two items, really. One, the Geisinger Board of Directors has appointed Jaewon Roo, the doctor who's been the interim CEO at Geisinger, as the new CEO. He's been in charge since Dr. Feinberg stepped down to head back to the West Coast. But Jaewon Roo, Dr. Jaewon Roo, is the new CEO of Geisinger Health System, or just Geisinger as they call it now. And PennDOT is out with an update. They say there's some roads closed because of flooding. Hollow Road near Route 487 in Columbia County and a section of Route 44 in Porter Township and in Lycoming County blocked because of water on the road and or damage to the road from the washouts yesterday. All right, we got a call coming in, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the lack of a paper trail and other elements of security that must be added to the state's voter systems that are placed in each county. Maybe it'd be cheaper if the state just bought the machines and distributed the sufficient number to each of the counties. Maybe they'd save some money. Sort of a piggyback for election machines, since the state thinks this is such a good idea to upgrade these. Northumberland County's machines do not leave a paper trail. It's 100% electronic, and so they are subject to replacement as well. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We've had a theme come up on a couple of topics this week, and that is state funding. Since the budget period is underway in Harrisburg.
I don't think we did one.
We did not.
No, okay. I didn't think so.
We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Cindy is standing by. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
A gracious good morning to you all.
Thank you.
I decided a few months ago when this whole bickerman started about too much money for the state police out of the PennDOT fund to discover exactly when taking money from PennDOT dollars to fund the state police began. And I was able to trace back through online information into the 60s. This is in some revolutionary new thing that's just started. This has been the habit, the policy of our government, at least since the 60s. I could see it in the budget every year. And interestingly, it operated on the premise that about 30% 30% of the money that was allotted towards the highway system went to the state police. So this morning, much to my surprise, I'm listening to Representative Sterla, the Lancaster representative, and he's raving. This has been one of his proposals now to tax local municipalities that do not, and townships, for example, that don't have their own police for state police services, quote-unquote. He acknowledged that the funding, the PennDOT highway funding, is $3 billion. Well, those of us who passed fifth grade math can tell you that 30% of that is roughly $1 billion. A third of it is roughly $1 billion, right? A third of three is one. Oddly enough, we're spending, or they're complaining, because we're shunting over $700-800 million. So actually, less money is being removed from the highway funds than has historically been the practice in terms of a percentage of the money the highway funds have.
Right. They've been scaling back over the past few years. There is legislation that Senator Gordner, I think, supported or introduced to cut back the contribution.
So what then, after, 60 years of this policy being in place, what is really the conundrum here? Well, the people who make money installing highways, bridges, walking trails, intermodal systems, they all are complaining because they want that money for them. That's what's really the discussion here. Not that local people are unfairly exploiting this system.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank
to
you.
Be continued. Appreciate the call. State police funding, big topic. It's one of the many issues on the table in Harrisburg lately. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. It is the 20th day of June 2019. Boy, hard to believe June is two-thirds over. That is just ridiculous. Talk about time marching on. Pretty soon it's going to be the 4th of July. I guess I should start planning about that. We have an open phones session on WKOK's On the Mark program underway right now. Matt Cotrillo's over in the newsroom. He's given us our top story. I'll read that in a moment. Rob Sanders, a fabulous producer, superlative co-host. Mr. Joe McGranahan is here, and I'm Mark Lawrence, strikingly handsome, in case you haven't heard. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from you via Text Connect. We sent out a text last night when the flash flood warning went up for Columbia County. Now, two roads are still closed as a result. A section of Hollow Road is closed in Columbia County near Route 487, and a section of Route 44 is closed in Lycoming County. In the news today, Geisinger announced the Board of Directors has appointed Dr. J. Juan Rue, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Geisinger. He served as an interim President and CEO since November of 2018 and Executive Vice President and Chief Medical Officer since September of 2016. He becomes the 17th chief executive officer in Geisinger's, He becomes the 7th chief executive officer in Geisinger's 104-year history. Succeeds Dr. David Feinberg, who left Geisinger earlier this year to assume a leadership role at Google. We do plan to interview Dr. Rue a little bit later on this morning, so we'll have some excerpts of his remarks in news later this morning. A tax increase, a new police force, and a new Cyber Academy, highlights of the Shikellamy School District budget conversation and vote this week.
Business manager David Sinopoli tells us the Shikellamy School Board unanimously passed a $50.1 million budget this week, which includes the talked-about tax increase of 3.5 mils. It's the second straight year for an increase and leaves a budget deficit of just under $850,000 for the district to fund with their reserve funds. Sinopoli says overall, salary benefits and pension increases contributed to the tax increase. Within the budget, Sinopoli says the district has funding to start a police force, allocating $90,000 $1,000 initially. At this time, he says it's unknown how many officers will be hired. Sinopoli says in order for the district to keep attacking its deficit, the district will have to continue finding ways to maintain costs or look to maximize revenue. He says new superintendent Dr. Jason Bendel is also looking at ways to lower expenses. One area is through cyber charter costs, projected to be $1.2 million. Sinopoli says the district just completed forming its own cyber academy to help lower costs. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And also in news, Pennsylvania is permanently recognizing Juneteenth, the cultural holiday commemorating the emancipation of enslaved black people in the U.S. Governor Tom Wolf Wednesday signed the legislation that emanated from the Republican-controlled legislature, designating June 19th as Juneteenth National Freedom Day. Most states recognize it. Pennsylvania lawmakers typically recognize the day by passing non-binding resolutions. The celebration started with the freed slaves of Galveston, Texas, although the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the South in 1863. It couldn't be enforced in many places until after the Civil War ended in 1865. It was June 19, 1865, when Major General Gordon Granger and his Union troops arrived at Galveston with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. Under the law, employers aren't required to treat June 19th as a legal or national holiday, but may choose to do so. And now they tell me, on the 20th, they tell me. All right, and finally, for the first time in more than a decade, members of the U.S. Congress are considering whether the U.S. should compensate African Americans for the nation's history of slavery and racial discrimination. One of the most striking moments came from writer Ta-Nehisi Coates, author of the widely read 2014 essay, Making the Case for Reparations. He challenged the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's claim that no one alive today is responsible for the past treatment of black Americans. Speaking at a House Judiciary panel, Coates says it's impossible to imagine America without the inheritance of slavery. What's being proposed is a comprehensive study of if reparations in any form should be offered at any time in the future. I think they have to get off the word reparations. I understand that, like Ta-Nehisi Coates and many other people, can explain that African Americans do not have full equality in the U.S. yet, but reparations is an antiquated term that involves paying somebody for some harm you did to them immediately. I think we need a...
I would submit to you that blacks do have every right anybody else has by law. Now, if someone's violating that law, then we need to deal with that.
Well, how about the U.S. as a whole? We know their life expectancies, health care, ability to procure health care, their propensity to be...
And what does slavery have to do with that?
Absolutely nothing. Precisely okay. My point. Why talk about slavery and reparations when that is one thing then, and what we have now is a significant and serious inequality, a lack of progress for making sure that individuals have equal opportunities. Completely different topic.
So
thank you.
What's going to happen if you wind up giving a whole pile of people a large sum of money or a sum of money one way or the other? You think it's always all going to be spent wisely? It's going to solve the problem? We'll never have another issue raise its ugly head in this country again? It isn't going to work that way.
Okay, so that's a ridiculous question. Let me ask you a ridiculous question. Do you think blacks have equal opportunity today?
I think the law guarantees that, and if the law doesn't guarantee that, they need to bring suits. I mean, we are supposedly, with all the legislation we have in place, we have granted our freedoms to everyone who's a citizen of this country, regardless of their race, their color, their creed.
Okay, I didn't ask about the law. I guess I should clarify. Do you think blacks actually have equal opportunity today? Do you think they actually do have the same medical outcomes, the same infant mortality, the same ability to...
But how is that correctable? How is that even addressable? If a group of people...
Well, first of all, answer
sicker,
the question.
Well, you can't answer it because inherently not everybody is equal in every single thing. We aren't born with the same number of days to live. We don't all die X number of years and days after we're born. Some of us never get sick a day in our lives. Some of us are terribly sick. So asking how we're going to address that with respect to a specific racial group is, you're right, an absurd question.
Okay, I'll take it as a no. And I think we recognize the fact that in the U.S., African-Americans and other minorities, that there's still ground to make up, whether they have to do it themselves or somebody else can assist or help or promote or whatever it happens to be. I do not think we should have a commission in Harrisburg or a study group or a committee or a comprehensive study on the topic of reparations.
Well, I agree. I don't think it's going to solve the problem. I don't think it's even going to address any problem that lingers.
But what we should do is decide what it is we can do today to actually make equal opportunity, to make the education that...
Where do we fall down? Who among the people who live in this area are not getting their full benefits?
Oh, I'm not sure that...
Do you think that the black students who go to Shikellamy are given less of an education than the white students?
And my question to you is, do you know the answer to the question you just asked?
I look at systemic failures such as Harrisburg, where the graduation rate of Harrisburg High School is below 50%. Now, whose fault is that? The school board, the students, overwhelmingly black. You know, and the Democrats, there isn't a Republican in sight down there.
And what's the answer?
I don't know.
That's what the study should find out. What are the answers to the questions you and I are asking?
They're being let down. You know, is it because the families? We're so afraid of being labeled a racist that we can't look at a situation like Harrisburg. And incidentally, the state has taken over the Harrisburg School District. Thank God.
Oh, it's done.
Yes, it's done.
Oh, isn't that funny? AP didn't have that.
Oh, well, it was in the Harrisburg paper, the Penn Live. But, I mean, somebody has failed those kids. Mm-hmm. Now, is it white people who failed them? Is it black people who failed them? Is it the system who failed them? Somebody failed them. But it isn't going to be solved by it isn't going to be solved by reparations.
Right. All right. Well, I'm glad you're coming around. Very, very succinct answer that answers what is a tremendously complex issue in the U.S. We'll take your opinion about this. Tragically, in Congress, they're calling it reparations. That's not the issue. Today, it's an opportunity for... today the question is about opportunity and equality, which we are far from having that equally in the U.S. right now. But is there anything we can do? Maybe more time has to pass. You know, there was a time when people could openly discuss their racist views. Nowadays, that has changed. People have to keep that to themselves. I mean, unless they join a group or something and protest publicly, people can't make it their deciding factor when hiring. You can't make it a deciding factor in education or in healthcare or anything else. So we've come that far. Do we just need the clock to tick farther? I would submit to you, if you wait 10 years, things will be a little bit better. If you wait 20 years, somebody's stuck in a... It would, if you did nothing in 10 years in Harrisburg, would the school system be better? 1-800-795-9565.
I doubt it.
Okay. There we go. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I would love to hear from you, not specifically on the idea of reparations. That's kind of a one-answer thing, depending upon how you feel about that. But
it's a serious thing because it's being considered in Congress.
Right. Well, that's what this big study's about. So, yeah, I don't know that we need that. 1-800-795-9565. Stan, you first caller on this good topic. You are on the mark.
Simple answer, no. when somebody shows me a person that was directly affected by slavery, as in a slave that's still alive, then we can talk about it. Otherwise, reparations is meaningless to me. Now, the biggest majority of the problem is people with racist ideas and racist hearts and bigoted hearts. I don't know how you solve that. You can't legislate that kind of stuff away. You know, all citizens of this country are considered equal by law. They all have the same opportunities. Now, whether somebody stops them, that's on the people doing that stopping. You know, understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
government
can't
legislate it.
Okay. And you can't change people's minds. The government can't make Stan change his mind.
I ain't saying you can't change people's mind, but it takes time and work. And those people that have those thoughts, what do you do to them? What do you do to them to make them stop? I mean, other than sue them into non-existence or bankruptcy, you know, if a black person goes to a company and applies for a job, and he has the same qualities and education and qualifications as anybody else, and doesn't get a job. Now, is that because he's racist, or the company's racist, or just because they didn't feel that he would be a fit, or that person would be a fit for that company? I don't know. And how do you determine that?
But individual bigots, Stan, you're always going to have. I don't care what you do. You're never going to eradicate individual bigotry or individual intolerance. But you can make it illegal for people to practice those in an overt way that directly harms other people.
We already have laws for that, correct?
Right, that was my point. Yes, I think we do have enough laws. And I can't think of a single area that isn't covered. You know, they're a protected category under every discrimination code in the country. They're a protected category.
Right. So I do not understand what the government can do more of to stop it, other than start throwing people in jail for it. And that opens up a whole other can of worms.
So, I think you're really, Stan, for the first time in history, I agree with you. No, that's not, just kidding. You and I agree on a couple of things. But I think you've hit this. You can't legislate what needs to be fixed today. It's institutional. It's in our education. It's in our neighborhoods.
And you can't solve it by throwing money at it.
Well, I don't know if it's in the education system. I don't know. Because, it could be. I mean, who controls most of the education systems in this country? Who controls most of the major urban areas of this country? What party? People get all angry because you blame the Democrats or whatever. But what party is in control of most of those places? And what is the history of that party? The history of that party is the KKK, Jim Crow, and segregation and all that. And it continues, although they say it doesn't. They point to the White House and say everything that's going on with that is Trump's fault. I'm sorry. I don't hear Trump saying anything racist.
Well, he has a dog whistle.
You know, he hires people of all races, creeds, religions, orientations. There's people working in that White House and in the government that he has, nominated, hired, of all those. So how does that man become racist, anti-Semite, and a whole list of crap that they accuse him of?
All right, noted. People say he has a dog whistle for the white supremacist groups. You go. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stan.
Appreciate you. Stan and I agree on a lot of things, actually. I don't know if he agrees with me but on this topic, but the fact that he pointed out a real home run, and that's that you can't just legislate or governmentally decide, okay, somehow we're going to make things equal. That won't work. Cindy, once again, your call right before a quick break. So you stand by. Mike's standing by, too. You guys hold on. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We are enjoying a conversation today. We invite you to join us, 1-800-795-9565. Cindy, you get 1 minute of fame. That's four times the 15 seconds that was talked about. Oh, no, it was 15 minutes. Never mind. Go ahead, Cindy.
I dispute the idea that this system continues to be rigged against any specific group of people. I look at the evidence that I see. For example, there was a woman who was the richest woman in the United States for at least two, if not almost three decades. You know who that was? Oprah Winfrey. And if you have to obsess about race, she is black. 75% of the professional football players are black. There have been and continue to be people in government, in power, all of whom are black and other races. I take to heart what several people said at this hearing about reparations, and these people were, just by visual evidence, black. And you know what they said? Don't make me your victim. Don't put victimhood on me, and I agree.
All right, noted.
I think there are some people who are white who are highly successful. There are just as many more people who are white who live in poverty. I don't think any one group owns the challenges of this world
Excellent
any more
point.
Than any other. No.
And that's precisely why I argue against the case for reparations, because I think you're attacking the wrong issue. If you have an urban poverty problem, go ahead and see what you can do about that. If you have a class or group or individuals or some type of segment of our society that's not getting and doesn't have the right amount of access to health care or nutrition, attack that. Do what you need to address that and see what needs to be done, whether it's education. But reparations, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? That has nothing
problem,
to do with
problem?
Urban
but
areas.
But, Mark, we have disproportionately extra super-funded schools of that have public schools with a high population of minorities. Now in Pennsylvania, school funding is tipped to favor them. When new money comes into the system, they get more than white students get per pupil, purposefully.
Right. Right.
We have tipped that scale.
Right, so money's not the answer.
And a good example of the failure of that thinking, Mark, is Harrisburg School District, which has received disproportionately high funding from the state for decades, just like Chester School District, just like Duquesne School
District. Or Philadelphia.
And still, those people running that school have failed.
All right, noted. Thank you so much. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. In my past calls, I've never really told you what I believe about the economy. And I believe it's controlled by three factors. Government,
hold on, Mike, can you hear me? Believe it or don't, when you said the most important noun in that sentence, your phone cut out. So repeat the sentence. There's something about the economy.
Yes, okay. I've never really talked about my political position in the past, but I believe our economy is ruled by three things. One, if government taxes something, we get less of it. If government subsidizes something, we get more of it. And any time government tries to fix a social problem with the program, that problem gets worse than if government had done nothing at all. Okay, so that's my underlying basis for just about any problem. And when we're talking about the educational system, two things. I believe that the educational system that we have, the schools are our window into the culture for us to see what this country is really about. And secondly, I believe that education is the great equalizer. Okay, so I believe that education can really conquer a lot of problems. But what we're looking at is a very, very complex problem. And one of the things, and I'm not an intellectual when it comes to, you know, the history of this country and slavery and everything, but to me, the idea that you can have generations of family raised in a culture where they're slaves, and then, you know, wave a magic wand back in the 1600s or 1800s and free them, that those families, that those the psychology of those people can automatically turn around and take advantage of everything that we have in this country and be successful. It can happen. You know, you're going to have situations. But I believe that we have the Democrat Party continuing to make the African Americans and other minorities out to be victims. And that I think that hurts more than helps. I think our educational system needs to be honest about, you know, what this country is and how we got where we are. And we also have to understand that there is, in my mind, the victimology on the part of the blacks and the African Americans and other minorities, but that has to be overcome. And that's going to take time and generations, like I believe you mentioned, time. But I think we just have to face the reality of what this country is, what our educational system is, and work harder.
All right, and throwing money at it won't help. Cindy pointed that out, and you articulated it quite nicely.
And I pointed that out, quite frankly, too.
Well, yeah, Joe gets a little credit, too. All right, thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call.
1-800-795-9565 is the open phones. We're getting away from reparations. We're talking about what can we do about what could be verifiably termed some inequalities in the U.S., but is it created? Is it self-taught? Is it cyclical? That if we could somehow break the cycle, would it be fixed?
Well,
that's what the study could focus on, but reparations won't do it. Let's do the email, and then we'll take Lance.
Representative Louis Gohmert yesterday, when he urged that Americans know their history and, quote, not punish people today for the sins of their predecessors in the Democratic Party. Sure, that didn't go well, but let's face it. Who is the party of Jim Crow? Who is the party of slavery? It wasn't the Republicans.
Oh, maybe they feel bad.
Bob says, good morning. I feel sorry for the slaves in our past history. That has nothing to do with today. Every person of color is treated the same, in my opinion. Now go outside the box. Things are iffy.
Okay. Lance, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, you bet. Why, anyway, reparations does present a rather interesting quandary here. When you think about it, what we're saying is that a generation today should be paid for what a previous one did, correct? So if you were for that, why then the death tax wouldn't be something you'd be much interested in, would it? Because you're saying that this generation, you know, should have passed on to them the labors of the previous one, correct?
I'm not certain I get you, Lance.
A death tax?
Death tax, yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, the inheritance tax that they're trying to go through.
What's that have to do with reparations? You've lost me.
Well, absolutely. That's what it is. You see, you have the fruits of the labors of the previous generation being passed to the next one. You know,
so
these people today are, yeah. So if you'd have to be for reparations if you do not want the fruits of the labors of the previous generation passed on to the next, because that's what we're doing, isn't it? And when you really tax it to beat the band, why, that isn't, is not keeping with that idea.
I don't know, Lance. It sounds like circular logic to me. You're running around here, but you've got the troops out in the rain. I'm not certain I understand exactly where you're coming from.
If it ain't raining, you ain't training. That's what they say. No, so you just got to catch on.
It's exact. To me, it seems quite simple.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it does, you know? But you've lost me.
Joe's darn smart. There's no argument about
sorry
that.
Sorry, I did. Well, also.
But, I mean, let's look at it from this standpoint. How does money today solve a problem of slavery 150 years ago or Jim Crow laws 60 years ago? It doesn't solve the problem. We've already enacted legislation to do that. I would say that legislation is, in fact, reparations. We have said we committed sins in the past that we no longer want to commit, and so we are going to codify better behavior going forward and make it criminal for you not to follow this law. That, to me, is the reparations. We've recognized our mistake, and we've corrected it. Now, I agree with our earlier caller, if there was somebody alive today who was directly and personally impacted by slavery in the United States, yes, let's give them some reparations, because we obviously haven't compensated them properly. But there's no one alive who was in slavery in this country.
Years ago, I heard a speaker by the name of Charlie Smith, who was a black man. And along these lines, he said, this is a quote, he says, I have never seen a 600-year-old black man. And I thought that was pretty interesting there. But now think about what we have done with the black folk. Now, I can only speak from my narrow sphere of experience where I worked. And that was, quite frankly, a black employee could get away with murder and not get fired. Whereas a white person, not so much. I know one man that was arrested here in Harrisburg for having a small amount of marijuana. He got fired. Black guy, same thing. He was on work release for like a year and a half. So that's what they did. they would let, I think, in the schools then, in order not to seem like you were a racist, the teachers probably let those black students get away with some really awful stuff and not done anything about it until they were really, really bad. And I think that probably put the school district in the position where it was, where the kids were just unruly because everyone was afraid to correct them for fear of losing their job.
Well, I don't know what time period you're talking about, but I went to Harrisburg Public Schools back in the day where you could get a good education there, and I went with black kids, Jewish kids, Catholic kids, Protestant kids, and I can't honestly say I ever saw a teacher or anyone in the school administration treat anyone differently or single anyone out for punishment. If the kid was a good kid, white, black, red, green, they got treated well. If they were disruptive and unruly, didn't matter what color they were, they got sent to the disciplinary department.
All right,
that
noted,
not
Lance.
That has been for the last 25 years, though.
Thank you so much,
back
Lance.
Back then, 50 years ago. Yep. Not today, though.
All right, appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, and they want you to do what I have done. Go to sunburymotors.com, build your next Ford. Mine's a Ranger Raptor, 6-foot bed. It's got a power rear window and a sunroof that encompasses both rows of seats. It's got an off-road package, towing package. It doesn't have that flimsy thing in the front. It's got a real skid plate out there and a deer guard already on it. Ladder racks are ready to be mounted in the back, and guess what? It has a mirror for my lovely bride in case she wants to adjust her face before we go someplace. Lighted mirror on the passenger side. SunburyMotors.com is where you can do that, but you can fix up a Hyundai or a Kia or a Lincoln to your precise specification. But guess what? You'll probably find out as soon as you click on send, they'll say, well, that car already exists on our lot in the form of a pre-owned vehicle or a brand new vehicle. They'll say that they have the deal that they can work with you, and they would just love to do so. You can do it at the Sunbury Motor Company. That's build your vehicle or buy one of their existing pre-owned vehicles that have gone through 1,000 and 20,000 and 50,000 point check. I'm exaggerating. This is ad puffery, as they say, but those are ready to go. Or buy some of the new vehicles. Buy some of them, Joe. I would like you to go down there and buy some of the vehicles that they have at the Sunbury Motor Company. We will be right back. We got a caller standing by. We got two emails standing by. We shall return. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, from the newsroom, we hear a section of Route 54 is blocked in Montgomery. It's at the intersection, well, it's be on the other side of the river then from Montgomery, at the intersection of Route 405 and 54 in Delaware Township, Northumberland County. Montgomery itself is on the other side of the river, as Joe well knows. But so watch out for that. A blockage on 54 in Montgomery, particularly where it intersects at two locations with Route 405. That's where it's blocked on the Northumberland County side and in the Montgomery side. All right, so be aware of that. The section of Route 44 is closed in Lycoming County. That's in Porter Township. Section of Hollow Road closed at 487 in Columbia County. And that's the road report. Dale, most patient man in the U.S. of A. Thank you so much for waiting. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I just say with the socialism... Like, I think Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were probably right, you know. Well, you look at socialism, what's the true meaning of socialism? You look at the top 1%, they don't pay no federal taxes at all. Okay, because the reason why is because if they force Donald Trump to release his taxes, that's going to open up a can of worms. And they just don't want to do that. So,
and what's this have to do with reparations?
Because the 1% benefit, enjoy the fruits of socialism the most. And then our elected officials enjoy the benefits of socialism the most. So I'd say that they don't want to share, you know, but like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I don't like their narrative.
Again,
like
where does reparations enter into this? Our discussion is about reparations.
Well, I don't even believe in that. That's just like a curveball that you're trying to take your attention off the actual ball.
No, so that's actually what we're talking about.
You probably benefited more from the socialism than I have, honestly. Okay. So
someday you'll have to explain that to me.
The true definition of socialism.
All right. Noted. You know? Thank you so much, Dale. Yep. Good points all. Appreciate that. The top email, if you would, Joe.
Says, this is just a question pertaining to blacks and whites, pertaining to police stops. Do you think, for example, the Phoenix police stop with a shoplifting possibility of a doll from a dollar store would have been handled the same if there had been a white couple with young children? I'm a big backer of our law enforcement agencies. However, at times, I think some of them use very poor judgment when dealing with minorities. One of the issues, right or wrong, they must realize someone most likely has a phone recording of their every move. Yes, and the same thing's true in Harrisburg, where the police cursed and swore at people who were trying to point out that there was a victim lying on the ground to them, and Chief Carter down there made it quite clear that he expected better from his police. But these are individual acts by people. I understand now that Philadelphia suspended or put on desk jobs some 72 officers because they may have posted things on Facebook that are detrimental. Bad acts are going to be there, but the thing is, the system is designed to prevent those bad acts, and if they can't prevent them, to punish them.
To weed them out. Harry, you're on the mark. We're talking about not only reparations, but if we decide that if the answer to should we pay anybody reparations, if that answer is no, what should we do about the fact that we got some disparities in the U.S.?
Well, you're talking about two different things. One is the reparations are supposed to be to make up for a reprehensible act like slavery. Nobody who's alive right now had anything to do with that. So therefore, that debt is clear. And if you want to take it that way and you want to pay debts for terrible things, then the American government should probably pay rent or some kind of lease fee or give money to the American Indians for all the property they took that we now live on. So you can make this as silly as and inane as you want. But basically what the reparations thing comes down to is somebody wants money for an act that did not happen to them but will make them feel better. And the fact of the matter is, there are laws for this. If they're not being followed, then you must punish those who aren't following them. But punishing everybody by taking money from them, be it through taxes or however they would come up with this money for the reparations, which I can guarantee you, I'm not paying one red cent, not one. And I wouldn't care what the consequences were. To make somebody else feel better over something that somebody else is not following a law for, while 99.9% of the other people are following it, that's as stupid and as inane a thing as is happening in the world. Again, every time I think the dumbest thing in the world can happen, here comes the next one. And this is another example of that. You got a guy like Danny Glover making millions of dollars per movie telling me that I've got to pay to make somebody else's past life better. Nah, it's not going to happen.
But if there were, and we know throwing money at issues doesn't help them. I'm assuming you agree with that observation.
Oh, exactly.
So
exactly.
What should we do? We have some folks who are missing out on the American dream because of a cyclical poverty or for whatever reason, the health care and educational opportunities, like for the kids that are growing up in Harrisburg. Let's just use, skip everything else I said. Just say, for the kids in Harrisburg, we know throwing money ain't helping. So what should we do? Should we study it? Or have we done what we can? We just wait for time and, I don't know, keep pushing our existing programs?
Where have we fallen short? We have the laws in place.
Well,
if they're not being enforced, that's not a problem to be dealt with through reparations.
Well, and not just that, but, you know, we study everything. We suffer in this country. We suffer paralysis from analysis on so many things. And the simple fact of the matter isn't that people, you don't study why they're not getting it, and I think that's what you're saying anyhow, Mark, I think this is what you're saying, is we have to study why they're not taking advantage of it, because the opportunities are there for everybody. Now, why they don't get followed or can't be followed, I don't have the answer for that. If I knew that, I'd give you the winning Powerball numbers for this weekend, too. You know,
I would appreciate that. It would be very helpful. All right.
Yeah, but my point is that if I have several people who work for me who have come through that work in my store that have come through the Harrisburg School District, they're very bright, very energetic, very hardworking. I can't answer why there are so many who are not. But I can tell you, too, that the government throwing money at the Harrisburg School District hasn't worked for these last 20 years. I'm pretty sure it's not going to work for 20 more.
Right. Yeah, they need a.
You know, there's got to be another reason in there that it's not coming, and that's got to be. That's involved with not just the people who are in the administration. That's got to be involved with parents, students, everything.
Right, yeah, the whole village, as they say. All right, thank you so much, Harry. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. At this point, we have reparation zero, something else, somehow, some way, six. And throwing money at it is the unanimous not choice. All right, the text, the break, and the call. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, the top 1% pay over 40% of the income tax paid to the feds. Dale is correct, though, about socialism. The socialists are never affected by their evil policies. Unlike the masses, they are treated to equal misery.
He also says, why would my lovely bride need to adjust her face in the mirror of an F-150 that I get at Sunbury Motor Company?
You told me not to read that one.
Oh, okay. No, I wanted to read it. She does not need to, but she wishes to anyway. Some sort of perfection that she's seeking. So, but she always looks perfect in my view. That's all we're going to say about that. All right, Chris, hold on. We will be right back. We have some open lines. 1-800-795-9565. Join the texters at 70236 and the emailers at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the make. Mark,
on
Chris.
The make. That sounds like an entirely different show.
And as long as we're not on the take, it's okay. Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah, well, I guess we've all decided that throwing money at a problem doesn't help it, makes it worse, therefore defund ICE, never build the wall. I got you now. And
that's
I guess
funny.
That the United States bears no blame for slavery and has no way of making an atonement for it.
Well, let's look at it this way. Who promulgated slavery? It was the Democratic Party. Maybe Democrats should pay.
No.
Yes.
Certain states. Want to name the states? Oh, they're all Republican now, aren't they?
But they were Democrat at the time.
I wonder why.
They were Democrat at the time, and the Democrats are the ones who put in the Jim Crow laws.
And who the states were responsible, not the party.
Well, but the party is what ruled the state.
Yes.
They were elected.
You can say who you want. That's my point. Exactly right. And who's in those parties now? Where did they go? Because the liberals kicked them out pretty much when they passed the civil rights legislation.
But you're,
so they
you're
all
arguing
left and went somewhere else.
You're oh, arguing
gee,
out of both sides.
Go? I can't think of the name of it.
You're arguing out of both sides of your mouth here, Chris.
The pubic party, something like that. I'm sure it was.
Chris, you're arguing out of both sides of your mouth. The bottom line here
course.
Is
Don't
who
you
are
get
the people?
The humor?
Who are the people who created the problem? They weren't the Republicans then, or they were the Republicans.
They were the citizens of North Carolina, South Carolina.
And who did they elect? Who did they elect to produce
the
these
white
problems?
Citizens. Oh, did anybody make profit off of slavery?
Sure.
What about those people? Maybe they can pay something, huh? Or their families that got it passed down.
Well, who got it passed down? Who's benefiting today from slavery? Give me a direct line, somebody who's directly benefited from slavery.
How about the Sessions?
Jeff Sessions?
Yes.
How has he benefited from slavery?
Because it made his family rich and famous.
Okay.
And that's how he got his jobs.
Well, I think
you... Okay, then, now the other thing I wanted to get into besides all that was... The unnamed one from Seals Grove yesterday comments on Trump's speech. Somehow he's looking to the future because he mentioned going to Mars and
and eliminating the scourge of HIV. Well, first of all, he was going to the moon before he went to Mars, and it's a top-of-the-head thing to him because he thinks it sounds good and might make his name famous someday. But in any case, where's the program? Where's the money? He's already run them in circles going to the moon and then switched back to Mars, which was already planned anyway, and then tried to pretend he was moving that up. Is that anything real, or is it just another fake thing? I'd vote for just another fake thing, probably. And HIV, he's going to talk about it now at election time. Oh, great. Where's the program? Where's the money? Haven't heard about that. Where's the bill? Haven't heard about that.
Yeah, on the other side, you have Bernie Sanders, who doesn't understand the difference between revenue and profit.
Oh, because he misstated it once in a tweet. Wonderful. That proves he doesn't know it.
So
sure.
You're willing to take one thing.
Proof,
you're willing to take one thing where. Could I get a word in, Mark?
In a tweet.
Wouldn't you say that one thing that Bernie Sanders did, okay, but you're taking one thing the Republicans did or the president did, and you're making the same argument about them, that somehow that, you know, they should be aware of the fact that they made a mistake.
The president does it all the time. Sanders did it once in one tweet, and find out any other proof that he doesn't understand that, or listen to what he says afterwards and see if he learned from his slip of the tongue or slip of the tweet, whatever you want to call it.
Well, hopefully he has learned something from it.
Maybe he knew it already. I don't know. We'll probably find out. I suspect he does.
But the point is, you're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but not the president.
For what? What was I not giving the president? That he's actually serious about Mars and the moon?
Yes.
Which one was he serious about?
Maybe
he's
serious
that,
about
Joe.
Both of them. Maybe he's serious about both of them.
He already canceled one after sending out Pence to speak for it. The day Pence was bragging about it, Trump changed his mind, decided it was nonsense, and because he heard something on Fox. Because one of Fox commentators pointed out how silly it was, then he changed it back to Mars, which was already in the works. That's looking to the future. It's governing by whim.
All right. Noted.
The defense secretary guy you talked about yesterday, there's another one of those from the day before yesterday. There's another one from yesterday. That the woman who's Linda Thompson, who's doing the negotiations with Russia on arms control, she had something in her thing that didn't get uncovered that shows how incompetent she is, the vetting system is there.
Hey, Chris, how about Joe Biden going to cure cancer? He's been there 50 years. Now all of a sudden he's going to cure it.
Well, until I see what his program is, I guess I don't believe that either.
Okay. Well, at least you're fair.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Why don't you be a little more fair there?
I am.
Criticize Trump for his programs like separating children.
Which was started by President Obama in his administration.
No, but he fixed it. It was an emergency situation, and they didn't end up being permanently separated.
It's an emergency situation now.
They don't even know. They're so incompetent, they don't even know where the children belong.
It's an emergency situation now, Chris, and finally the Democrats are starting to realize that.
No, they're making it an emergency situation now, Joe.
Well, you're the only Democrat who has his head so far in the sand you don't see that. Even some of the candidates are coming around. Cory Booker, for example.
I said he created an emergency.
He didn't create it. He didn't create it.
He created an emergency on purpose.
No, he didn't. He's dealing with one.
Didn't double did.
He did not.
Therefore, put them in.
All right. No, my gosh. I'm sorry. Chris, we got a skadoodle. Thank you so much, both of you, for participating in your own private On the Mark show. We appreciate that. Thank you. We'll see you Monday. Enjoy your retirement elongated weekend. And tomorrow, John Shipman's going to be here. We're going to hear from Bob Garrett again about with an update on wood mode. So that's coming up tomorrow. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK. Sunbury, 10 a.m.